Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin'.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, July 25th. Good to have you with us this week, and we've got an important broadcast. I'd like to think every one of our broadcasts are important, but with so much going on in the industry right now, especially with so much confusion being brought about as a result of the many regs that are out there, new regulations, now that we have CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, up and running. What does this all mean? We seem to have more legal risk than ever before. We have Mitch Kider going to be with us in the Hot Topics segment. Mitch is with Wiener, Brodsky, Sidman, and Kider, a law firm many of you know about, one of the leading law firms as experts in the mortgage industry. We're going to be thrilled to have him on as a guest. You're definitely going to not want to miss that segment. But as we do each and every week, we're going to start off with what's going on in the market. Got a little volatility as we get ready and we look at whether or not if we're going to increase the debt ceiling, whether or not we're moving on, what's happening. And Joe has been a busy guy pumping out updates up and down, around and through. Joe Farr, good to have you on the program. Happy Monday to you.
Thank you. It's been crazy this morning.
Yeah, come on. Give us an update. What's happening?
Well, so far we're down a little bit from where we ended Friday, but we're up from the lows earlier this morning. And in fact, we've already put out a favorable price change alert and then had to reverse it, and it's about to the point where we need to put it out again. It's been volatile this morning. And it's all having to deal with there are two issues here, I guess. One's the debt limit increase, and the other's deficit reduction. The market's still very much in pricing in a result that the debt limit is increased and there is no default. I guess as every day goes by, some greater uncertainty as to that happening will build. But so far, it's still priced in that there's no deficit. I mean, no default issues. The big issue is how much deficit reduction is going to go along with it. And to the extent that there's none, I think that's going to be bad for the mortgage markets. S&P and others are going to downgrade the debt and potentially cause rates to have to go up. In addition, the more spending that we do, the less control we have over spending, the more inflationary that can be. And then just the simple demand by the government to fund the extra spending is going to add to that supply. So all that goes along with this has been a market moving event and will continue to be one until we get this thing finally resolved, or at least resolved for some period of time.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that leads into last week,
So let's talk about last week. Give me a little change last week. It was kind of flat.
But every day had a quarter point movement. Every day. One day it was up, next day it was down, all seeming to flow with whether or not there appears to be significant deficit reduction. The one thing that kind of happened last week that was in addition to this, and it was favorable for mortgage rates, or I'm sorry, it was unfavorable for mortgage rates, was that there appeared to be some improvement in the European debt situation. An entity was formed that's going to finance government debt of struggling countries, and as a result, borrowing rates should be lower, and demand for their debt should improve. Took away some of the concern that was building in the market about defaults and the spreading of defaults, and took away some of the flight to safety that had occurred prior to that, given all the uncertainties that were out there.
I was gone last week traveling, so when I said it was flat, it's because there was volatility, but it was the net effect. It was pretty much just at the end of the week, it was pretty much where we started. Is that the right way to look at it?
Pretty much, yeah. Last week, there were very few economic announcements, and they had virtually no effect on prices. And then this week, Dave, it's going to be more of the same. It's going to be volatile. It's going to hinge based on whose proposals seem to be gaining the most support. Ultimately, something will get done, but to what degree of deficit reduction will come with it.
Are they going to kick the can down the road for a quarter or a few months, or what's going to happen? It's just so political as well as just so critical. So Mitch can give us some insights. I don't want to put that on Mitch, but Mitch's inside the Beltway there, so maybe Mitch Guider can give us his opinion. We won't go there with Mitch. I don't want to put him in the hot seat there.
It will be interesting this week. We have some Treasury auctions to absorb, and so with all this going on with the government debt and default, not default, and so we'll see how the market reacts to continuing to fund these deficits. Also this week, we have durable orders comes out on Wednesday, and then the first look at second quarter GDP comes out on Friday. So those are usually pretty significant events.
They are. Do you think that the Treasury auctions, someone just tweeted me this question, do you think the Treasury auctions, Joe, are going to be impacted in any way, shape, or form as a result of the debt ceiling either being raised or a deficit reduction? How much is the Treasury auction going to be impacted by that? One of our listeners wants to know. The power of immediate feedback with tweets.
There's certainly... it's priced in that default's not an issue. I think the concern is if the deficit reductions don't allow or if the deficit reductions are so small that debt's downgraded. There can be some ramifications to that. So at this point, I think we got to watch and see which plan wins. So far this week, it's going to be volatile as one versus the other seems to be gaining momentum.
Well, we've run out of time for this segment. Thanks so much, Joe, for bringing us up to date on what's going on. A little bit of volatility. Be interesting. Could be an interesting day, interesting week based on what's happening there inside the Beltway. And again, folks, we've got another industry leader inside the Beltway that's going to be talking about the legal risk. And Mitch Guider, stay tuned. We're going to be back right after this break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to mbsquoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial. mbsquoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dave Lookin, and I am so excited to have one of my favorite people in the whole world of compliance training on the radio with us today, as she is each and every week, our beloved Alice Alvey. Alice, so good to have you back. We missed you last week. Where were you?
Thanks, Dave. Well, I was out doing FHA training at HUD in D.C., so that's
so
always
fun.
Wait,
stop there. You were inside of HUD, and you were training HUD on underwriting and all the things related to some of that's pretty exciting.
Well, yeah, HUD has a lot of folks who will be retiring over the next few years, and so they've developed a good training program internally to try and elevate staff to be able to, kind of get that next generation elevated through the ranks between both the multifamily and the single-family divisions in particular is where our training class was focused, and so it was good. had a good conversation with a couple of folks who actually write mortgagee letters. So I have some
scoops we'll give you at
the end of the show today.
So you had in your audience people that are actually writing mortgagee letters. What an honor to get the chance to sit in front of them. And so for listeners, for those of you, most of you already know, Alice knows her stuff. But if there's any validation when she's inside of the HUD's offices doing training, it substantiates. It's good to have you with us. What's going on the legislative front today, Alice?
Well, I think as everybody knows, you know, we're going to keep an eye on the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau since we think they opened their doors on the 21st. I mean, there's been some publications, you know. We have, you know, Richard Cordray, who's the director nominee,
yep.
But we also have a couple of bills. The House Bill 1315 passed actually on the 21st, the last Thursday, by voice vote. And then there's also Senate Bill 737 that matches up with this. In a sense, both bills trying to change that there isn't a single director, that there would be a five-person commission that would be nominated, a nominated commission. So you can imagine that. I mean, just a lot of folks have been saying that these bills are ways for, you know, the Republicans to really stall implementation of CFPB. One of them actually, House Bill 1315, says that as long as the chair position isn't filled, isn't confirmed, that the responsibilities overseeing these regulations, you know, HMDA, RESPA, and the SAFE Act all would roll up to the CFPB and out from under HUD. And so these regulations in particular would now be, they wouldn't transition over. So there's a part of these bills that's trying to even delay some of the transition process. I don't know how you can delay that since it's after the fact, but heck, you know, Congress will try anything. So this is going to be a five-person commission is what they're trying. You know, that a certain they can't have political affiliations. No one's allowed to have another full-time job. They want meetings open to the public. So some, you know, lots of components worth checking out if you want to have, make sure your Congress and senators understand, you know, what this could mean to the industry. So one of the things that's interesting is that all the money for reporting that the CFPB and the IG would have to do would have to come from existing funds and that there wouldn't be any new appropriations. So there's also a little bit of a budget battle going on within trying to set up the CFPB. So we'll keep watching that for you. Nothing definite
and
yet.
Alice, Glenn mentioned last week that the Feds actually, the Federal Reserve, when the bill was passed, actually set aside some funding for that. So you have to keep us posted on what's going on in that. That'll be really interesting. There's so many ways that people are trying to go after this this particular, the Dodd-Frank law on the funding. So I'd love to get Mitch's thoughts on that later on in the program. So, okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we're just going to be watching to see what we end up with, right? So I guess as long as they're this disorganized, do we have to worry about them showing up at your front door? The answer is no, not this week.
But that's not to say that you shouldn't be turning in the call reports and doing all those things that are required of it, because
right.
If you do not keep up on that, you don't want them showing up after the fact.
That's right. I should be careful when I say stuff like that. Me of all people, I want you to be in compliance. All right, so H.R. 2509 is a new bill that was introduced July 13th, named Preserving Consumers Mortgage Origination Choices Act of 2011. This proposes to prohibit a broker from paying an originator based on loan amount when the broker is paid directly by the borrower. So it's trying to close a little confusion that is out there right now under the Reg Z piece, but it also has another component. So it's really a two-part act. The other part is that it would allow a broker to offer a contribution for bona fide third-party expenses or origination fees no more than 30% of earned compensation in order to avoid making a high-cost mortgage or make technical corrections. And then it goes on to say, and for really any other reason, as long as it's to the betterment of the borrower. So I think that's a part that brokers might be very happy about, the idea that, you know, right now they can't give back any part of their paycheck at the time of closing. If something comes up, you know, just an extra fee or even any kind of restitution, anything just to help, you know, help the borrower. And so there's a good component within that bill that I think people would want to watch.
Some of the loan officers on the line might want to write that one down because they can quote, I'm sorry, I can't by law. I would love to help you, but I just can't. So they kind of get that get-out-of-jail-free card of having to share some of the money that they used to be sometimes feeling the pressure to do. It's good.
Yeah, sometimes they want to, though, now, you know, and they're kind of handcuffed now. So the deadlines that we have coming up, qualified mortgage, the definition for qualified mortgage, you have until Monday to get your comments. Here's how simple this is. If you go to the MBA, they actually have their Mortgage Action Alliance. They also have a qualified mortgage page, a risk retention section in their website that makes it very easy to just hit submit on a preset worded response to this. Now, at least when that box opens up, you get a chance to read MBA's text and add in some of your own comments if you want about this. If you want to just send your own email, send it to comments@federalreserve.gov. Keep it simple, but you have to make sure in the subject line you include docket number R1417. So at least make sure you get that.
R1417.
Mm-hmm. And you can, or you can put in risk retention rule. That gets it there too. So, in any case, what's nice from the Mortgage Action Alliance site is you can not only you can both respond to the proposal and you can also have something go directly to your senators. So, SAFE Act registration for you banks out there, that's due by this Thursday, July 28th. Hopefully, you have all your loan officers registered. If you don't, time to have that big mass fingerprinting convention conference. At your offices, get everybody set up on it. And we're also watching House Bill 940 about covered bonds. We'll see, but that's pretty watered down. We'll see if it gets any legs. No news yet on FHA maximum loan amounts or anything with the FHA Reform Act or Fannie Freddie bills. Nothing's moved on those. So that's my report today, Dave.
So good to have you back, Alice. Training, going from training HUD and then coming on the radio program, giving us an update. So valued. We appreciate you and your team studying so much of this. Folks, there's a book out there. I'm also related to Alice's segment that I'm going to recommend all of you read. It's called Reckless Endangerment, written by Gretchen Morganson and Joshua Rosner. Had the privilege of meeting Joshua Rosner at an event here in Austin last week. Or last year, Reckless Endangerment. Write that book down. It should be required reading of everyone, every Lickin' and Lending listener, and anyone in the industry. It's a great look back at what happened and why the topic of Mitch is going to be dealing with is so important. What can happen when regulations and good intentions go awry? So anyway, go write down the book name, Reckless Endangerment. Gretchen Morganson and Joshua Rosner recommend it highly. We'll be back after a minute with Mitch Kider and talking about the future of the legal risk in the industry. Stay tuned. Back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin'.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you back. The Profit Doctor is busy. He's out working on a very important assignment. He's going to have to miss us today. We always miss having Andy on, and Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, talking about how he can fix what ail in your bottom line. We certainly can help you, and you're going to want to miss future topics. But today, we're going to talk about a special event that's going to be happening this October. I'm very excited about to be a part of. It's called the Mortgage Leader Cruise. That's right, folks. Leaders in the mortgage industry are getting together to go on a cruise. And we're going to be cruising out of Florida. It's a four-day cruise. And the individual that's organized this is an entrepreneur, very exciting, sees what the needs are, a guy by the name of James Barnes. Good to have you on the radio program, James. Got you there. Good. Good to have you with us, James. Tell us about, give our audience, we have just about 8 minutes to kind of go through this. Give us a quick update on what the Mortgage Leader Cruise is all about. And tell us some of the speakers that are going to be on the cruise with us and what people can expect, why they should sign up.
Sure. First of all, I tried to put together an event that was affordable because a lot of the events I've seen out there, especially this particular time of year, and this particular economy, they're very expensive. So I put together a four-day educational cruise. So you'll have a tremendous amount of education at a price that you can actually afford. The most expensive actual cabin that we have available is $900. And that $900 includes your food and everything, including your training.
That's affordable.
When I say that, yeah, and when I say that, we've got Paul Donahue from Abacus coming in to talk about, to give you all 8 hours of your continued education that you have for the year. You've got Renee Rodriguez. We've got Greg Frost. We've got your truly, David Lykin, doing some great stuff for us. We got Mike Anderson coming in, talking about legislative issues and what's going on up at the Hill. We've got Denny Andrews talking about social media and all the different things in social media. We've got, Mike Gillis is coming in and talking about database marketing. My goodness, we put together just a tremendous group of people to give you the data and information that you need to be successful these days. I've been to a lot of these wonderful deals that other speakers have given, and they're all good, but they're getting a bit redundant. So I decided that I wanted to put together something that was just really out, first of all, affordable, in a completely different type of venue, and just something fun.
There's a little bit of an echo. Are you on? Did you pick up? Are you on a direct line? I want to make sure that we didn't. That I want to make sure people can hear everything you're saying real well. So if you haven't picked up,
let me try changing this just for grins.
All right, good. Well, anyway, we need to have the dates. But here's what's more important. There's a date that's coming up here that for those of you that want to be on this cruise and join us, and I'm so excited about the agenda. I'm one of the speakers. I get to be part of it, but I'm really as excited to listen to some of the others that are going to be there, some of the social media, how to market, database marketing, something, topics very, very near and dear to my heart. And there's just some true industry experts that are there. James, give us the dates, first of all, of the cruise, but more importantly, emphasize how short a time frame we have for people to react and why.
Sure. The cruise itself is October 13th through the 17th. I did that so you could just fly into Miami on Thursday and get on the ship and just mainly have a great long weekend. So you're not having to take a lot of time off work. So it's 4 days. The reason why we have the dates, the last day to pay is August 7th. It's important that we do that by then because the cruise line needs to have all their money, A. They also have to have all their information for Homeland Security and to check your passport and all those things. Unlike a lot of these other events that you've seen where you can just wait till a couple days before and decide to go, you can't do that because the cruise ships are not allowed to do that. So we have to have all the money up front to pay them in advance. So that's always the issue. And a lot of people are not familiar with that. If you haven't cruised before, you'll find out that no matter where you go, you have to pay in advance. So we're not trying to do something weird here. That's just the way the industry works.
Well, okay, so we've got that works. So let's go into this. We're running out of time, but I want to real quickly tell someone. Someone just tweeted me and sent me a note, says, why should I go to this? It sounds interesting. Is it just a cruise to go have fun? Or am I really learning? So why should they go again?
Well, probably the best thing of all is you've got all these different people that are experts in the different industries, stuff that you're not going to see at some other conferences. More importantly, the thing that I love about cruising is the relaxed atmosphere that it's in.
Yes.
It's not going
to
be
You are going to get to relax. best part is
it's not
we're going to some really cool spots. I'm really excited about the spots
We're going to Cozumel and we're going to do some other things. But the nice thing about it is just when you're done, as you know, Dave, you've been to these things. You've got a really fantastic speaker, and you go, man, I really like that guy. I wish I could ask him some more questions specific to my situation. Well, you can't do that because they get in their little car, and they're gone, or they're going to stay in a different hotel, so you can't track them down. Well, guess what? Each one of these guys is stuck on the ship. They can't go anywhere, and they're going to talk to you whether you want to or not. So you have a lot of opportunity. You have a lot of one-on-one, good quality time with these people after they're done with doing their spots. To have some quality time. You don't ever get that otherwise, and that's why I thought it would be important to do that.
Well, I think it's hilarious. One of our clients is going to show up because I told them that there will be no billable hours for any time you're with me on the boat. So they're showing up, and they're going to save up all their questions. I'm sure there's going to be others there. By the way, I want to say Andrew Berman and other people that are very much help promoting this are on the line. and others that we wanted to include in this call. Unfortunately, I didn't get their numbers in advance. We could get them all on, so an apology goes out, James, to those that you had and wanted to have talk about the cruise. But the date that's most critical is August 7th. Is that right?
Correct. That's right.
Okay.
And if you
go to
our website, which is mortgageleadercruise.com, you can Google it and find it easily, mortgageleadercruise.com, and you can see all the speakers, what we're going to be talking about, and, of course, there's a place and a phone number to call. And also there's a form they'll fill you out that we have to get your passport number and other things that are important. So go ahead there and check that out. And if you have any questions, certainly feel free to call me direct. My phone number is on there as well.
Folks, I want to encourage you to use this as a sales contest for some of your people. For those business owners that are on the line, use this as a sales contest. Or you know what? One guy, I know one company is going to use this just as their promotion for the year. And then many people try to do some event to reward top performers. They're taking their whole top performers to this event, and they're turning it. They go, hey, it's organized. I don't have to do anything. This is the coolest thing in the world. So if you're a business owner and you're looking for an incentive to put out there for your people, this would be a great one to do. You got a short fuse on this one, August 7th. Don't want to miss it. Go to the website, www.mortgageleadercruise.com. James, good to have you on the program with us. We appreciate you. And be sure to greet everyone on all the speakers. Tell them how much I'm looking forward to listening to their topics. Folks, we'll be back in just a minute after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back, everybody. This is David Licken, Licken on Lending. We are blessed and honored to be in relationship with so many industry leaders as a part of our firm and part of this radio program, one of the top leaders inside of the Beltway that keeps us informed on all that's going on is Mitch Kider of Wiener, Brodsky, Sidman and Kider. He published a book and sent it out to me, his group did. It's Consumer Protection and Mortgage Regulation Under Dodd-Frank. Folks, this is a thick book. When I'm not reading it, I'm using it to curl my arms just to build up the muscles in my biceps. We have Mitch on the line. It's so good to have you here. Be with us again, Mitch. Want to make sure
Thank
we got
you,
your
Dave.
Mic turned on. Good to have
I'm
you.
I'm here. Thank
Mitch,
you, David. It's good to be here.
Good. Mitch represents clients in investigative enforcement actions, easy for me to say, with HUD, with VA, the Department of Justice, FDIC, Ginnie Mae, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and various other state and local authorities. He's very involved in the mortgage industry. He does not need much of an introduction. If you've ever attended a state conference, you will no doubt have heard Mitch speak. He's also a familiar voice on this radio program and a frequent guest. It's good to have you back, Mitch. One of the reasons I want to tell our listeners, kind of, Mitch, is an intro to your segment. I want to explain to our listeners what's going on, and I reached out to Mitch on behalf of one of our clients. There is a letter that is being sent to, we're not sure how many, but it appears to be thousands and thousands of borrowers. And it's a letter that I was hoping to have up in front of me. I don't have it right at the moment, but it's a letter that is soliciting consumers to call this law firm, because they're trying to get them to join in a lawsuit. Now, the letter that I looked at, and I forwarded over to Mitch to look at, is something to the effect as the mortgage company from whom you received your mortgage is in a lawsuit. Now, that is blatant misrepresentation in the case of our clients. Not sure that's all the case, But in the case of the clients that we have that received that letter, that's blatant misrepresentation, number one. So they're representing that a lawsuit is underway, and here's what the letter basically says in paraphrase, is it is possible that you may, if you know, you should call us to see if you your loan was done properly, and if it was not, you should join the lawsuit. And if you do, you could have be rewarded with the following. Your loan could be forgiven, all fees repaid, refunded to you. And it goes on and on. And you read this, and any consumer that's struggling with to make their mortgage reads and gets this letter, what do you think they're going to do? A good number of them will pick up the phone and call that law firm. And, of course, we refer to it as the ambulance-chasing syndrome of the industry. It's, as far as I'm concerned, it's a little bit of the underbelly of the other side of the world from what the world Mitch represents. And I think that's he wears the white hat, folks. But I sent this to Mitch, and I said, Mitch, I would love to have you come on the radio program and talk about specifically that and all the other legal risks that are there. So, Mitch, we're armed to have a million questions for you, but let's start with that one letter. Any owner that gets one of those letters, by the way, the end of that story is the borrowers. They had such a good relationship with the borrowers in everyone, many of those cases, that instead of the borrower calling the 1-800 number on that letter, the borrower picked up the phone and called their loan officer. They faxed over the letter, and they sent it over. They said, I'm so sorry to hear you're being sued. The loan officer took that into the president of the company. Says, are we being sued? They go, no. And I got the phone call within seconds after that. I got handed a letter. What do we do? So let's start there, Mitch. If a business owner or a loan officer gets faxed one of these letters, I'd like to go into, is this really going on? Is this as epidemic what it's starting to sound like?
Well, let me start there, David. Let me start with what's going on over there, because the unfortunate reality is that this has been going on for quite some time now. These guys are just basic scam artists. That's all that they are. And they're targeting homeowners, and they're harming homeowners. They're also trying to harm lenders at the very same time. What they effectively do is they purchase public records information regarding mortgage loans, and they use that information to send mass mailings out to the public. And then they use deceptive practices, as this particular letter that you sent over to me does. You know, they use basically fake forms. They're designed to look like official government forms, which, by the way, is illegal. They have official-sounding names and words in there. They have a form number. They call it a litigation notice. They really try to make it mimic a tax form. And then they have some information that teases the borrowers, because they got the borrower's name, the address, the lender, sometimes even the loan amount, because they can get that publicly available. So it really is. It's a fraudulent form. It's deceptive itself. They mail it out. They tell the borrowers things like their loans are not valid. We can make it so you never have to pay your mortgage loan. They talk about unethical practices, things of that sort. And sometimes they charge them. In all honesty, when I say they target homeowners, many of these people charge them for these so-called forensic loan audits and take money right out of the homeowner's pocket themselves. So this has been a problem for a little while now, quite frankly. And I have clients that almost on a weekly basis send me similar type letters, this very letter and other letters as well.
And so there's two categories there that are number one I want to kind of designate out. The number one, there's a category in the case of the letter I faxed or emailed, scanned, had emailed and sent over to Mitch, there was no fees being asked for, at least not solicited directly in the letter. But there are those that, you know, if you pay $2,400, you can join this lawsuit. We need, you know, that type of thing. So there's two categories out there, it seems like. Am I correct, Mitch?
Yeah, but you never even know. Even a letter like this where there are no fees being asked for up front, you find out later on when the homeowner calls up, they take fees from the homeowner as well. So I'll tell you about an interesting case, David. You know, I actually go after these guys. I've been representing this industry for 30 years now, and I have no tolerance for this whatsoever. So, you know, what we do over here is we investigate these things. We go behind those letters. We find out who the people are that are actually doing it. And we keep the evidence on their people. We keep the evidence off their website, off their letters and things of that sort. Because once they start getting investigated by state AGs, they try to remove it from their particular website. You know, what we do is we send them cease and desist orders. We let them know that we know who they are. We report them to the attorney general's offices. We report them to bar associations, because they're sending these letters out in places where they're not even licensed to practice law. And sometimes we sue them. You know, there's a company I will tell you guys about. It was called U.S. Loan Auditors in Sacramento, California, and it had a sister company, and I mind using their name because these are public documents. It has a sister company called U.S. Legal Advisors, and they did these very same things in a letter that looked almost identical to the one you gave us. And a client called up and said, I'm tired of it. And I said, fine, if you really want me to shut them down, I'm going to file suit against them. I sued these guys for defamation, intentional interference with contract, intentional interference with prospective economic advantage, unfair business practices, and civil conspiracy. And then I went to the Attorney General's office in California, and they joined with me, and they shut them down, and they forced them all into bankruptcy.
Mitch, we always knew you wear a white hat, but now, and you've always been a hero in many ways, but I'll tell you, I can't hear it because we're doing this everywhere, but somehow there's cheering going across the audience right now. Way to go. It's like watching one of those old Westerns. The guy with the white hat actually gets the bad guy. So we're thrilled to hear about that. And so if people are wanting to, we'll give your contact information here a little bit later in the program. Anyone's getting these letters, they absolutely need to get a hold of you. There's a lot of confusion. A lot of attorneys who are not familiar with our industry don't know what to do. Mitch and his team do, and they're out there giving us a word. We heard one of your associates here in Fort Worth, his name escapes me, speaking at Texas.
Troy
was speaking at the Texas Mortgage Bankers Association on this issue, and we heard it, and we didn't believe it, that it could be as bad as it is. It is, folks. It's out there, and so get a plan. Be aggressive. Don't let this thing hit you. Okay, let's talk, and I want to get Alice and Joe in on this. Alice talks to us each and every week, Mitch, as you hear and heard today again, about some of the things that are going out there. Let's talk about loan officer compensation, about the risks that are out there. One of the things that I found that was most disconcerting about the Federal Reserve's, quote-unquote, trying to bring clarity and answer questions, I think it was the conference call of March 17th, they said, well, we're not sure, don't use any of the information in this call to set policy, those kind of words, and they said, well, that'll be decided in the courts. Those are words I circled in my mind, which means we're heading into a new, more litigious environment. This has always been a bit litigious, but it seems like it's heading more so into that and why more firms need to be aware of your firm. So let's get Alice back in here and let's talk specifically about what you see as new or renewed, or how would you characterize it, Mitch, legal risks that our industry is facing?
I wasn't sure if you wanted me to jump in there, Dave, since you called me here. I would ask my question, Mitch, is about the LO comp piece within Dodd-Frank versus what was in Reg Z, just the idea of liabilities that can go up to actual damages or three times the amount of compensation or gain in connection with the loan plus the cost of reasonable attorney fees. I mean, how realistic do you see that this is in the future for originators to actually be sued as individuals? How would that work?
Oh, I think it's actually very realistic, quite frankly. They're going to need regulations to implement that particular statutory change yet, so it's not something that's going to happen immediately. But Dodd-Frank adds a whole new component to the LO comp rule in the damages, as you just described them, three times the amount of the fee that was collected, damages under truth in lending as well. And it brings a whole new component to this particular rule. The CFPB is going to have to issue new regulations that reconciles the Fed's regulation with what Dodd-Frank requires. That's going to come out sometime, you know, within the next 18 months or so. It could be sooner, it could be later, depending on what their priorities are, which they haven't really announced at this point in time. And once that happens, the liability increases over there. You're going to start seeing enforcement by the CFPB and as well as state regulators once they learn what these particular rules are. But more importantly, it's now going to be a truth in lending violation as well, and they're going to have these stated specific damages, and that's going to bring plaintiff's counsel into play as well. They're going to start chasing after not just the companies but individual loan officers too.
And that's a new world. And Joe has so many people that he's sending rate updates out to that are going to be impacted by this. Joe, do you want to jump in here?
Well, I was going to ask Mitch, what are the top two or three things that I'd ask it from two levels? The owners and the managers of the company should be concerned about from new legal risks, and the LO should be concerned about from new legal risks going forward and under Dodd-Frank.
Well, there's so many things. You know, the top one that one needs to be concerned about really deals with this new ability to repay, and that's something that comments just went in on. are going in on, based on the draft rule that was out there, the ability to repay is going to cause many, many lawsuits unless you have a qualified mortgage and you have a final rule that has a safe harbor for a qualified mortgage. That becomes problematic in many ways. It's not that you need to use a QM or a qualified mortgage. You can go through an 8-step process of re-verifying all the information that's there, but a borrower can always allege that you didn't do it properly. They can use it as a defense to a foreclosure by way of offset and recoupment. They could sue for damages otherwise along those lines. So that's something to worry about, and the entire industry needs to worry about it, because as a result of the liabilities that go along with it, you're probably going to see everything in the secondary market kind of veer itself right into a qualified mortgage. So whatever they define that at is going to be really important from that perspective. Loan officer compensation, obviously, is very, very important. And, you know, on top of the list, in all honesty, for independent mortgage bankers are state regulators and what they're looking at and what they're going to do. Because if you looked at the report that was issued on the one-year anniversary of the CFPB, you'll see that they already entered into these memorandum of understandings with 39 different state regulators. And that's the way that organization is going to operate. They're not necessarily going to be knocking on your door themselves all the time. They're going to call up their local state regulator, the banking department, or the AG that happens to be out there and say, here's the problem over there. Go out there and enforce this and bring that particular action. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Mitch, and not only the states, but I think consumers are finding their own way into this to get out of foreclosure. I mean, it just seems to me that so much of this is coming from, as soon as the borrower goes delinquent, they're immediately diving back into the file and go, how can this not be my fault? How can I make sure this is the bank's? And they start going under Unfair and Abusive Deceptive Practices Act. They start going after, you didn't follow HUD regulations and QC. I mean, it's just amazing to me in some of these, you know, from the borrower angle, when they're just trying to get out of foreclosure, what they go after to try and blame the lender on.
That's absolutely right. And they're prompted on by regulators. It's an unfortunate reality right now because, you know, for our economy to turn around, we need to fix the problem of the inventory that's out there. We need to fix the problem of foreclosures, things along those lines. And sure, mistakes were made in the past. Mistakes still will be made along those lines. But it's come to the point where there seems to be a belief out there that if they don't make their mortgage payments, it's always the lender's fault, and it's no one else's fault for doing that. And that becomes very problematic in this industry. Now, there are things that servicers need to focus on. I mean, there are specific items that they can do to help themselves. There was a lot of confusion, you know, because the manpower wasn't there up front in terms of modifications, so things weren't getting done very quickly, although I think it's much better today than it used to be. There was the dual tracking issue of someone getting a modification approved and at the same time getting a notice of a foreclosure. Now, that was problematic, and that was addressed in the OCC consent agreement with the 14 servicers that they signed on to. And there's this issue of the single point of contact as well. You know, someone who's in trouble and they're unable to make their payments and they're calling up, they talk to one person, then they call up the next week, they're talking to a completely different person that wasn't aware of what's going on. So I think you're going to see some servicing standards that are becoming the norm as a result of the settlements the OCC had with the servicers that are going to help that situation a little bit. But we have to change the mentality
that
we have brought about over here. People think they do not have to pay their mortgages anymore. You know, I'll tell you one thing. I'll let you guys ask questions, but it was fascinating. I went to the movies with my wife this weekend, and we saw a movie called Larry Crown, and I couldn't believe it. At one point in time, I probably shouldn't say this for those that didn't see the movie, but I'm going to say it. Larry Crown goes into his bank, and he hands him his keys, and he hands him everything else, and she says, no, you really want to make your payments. It's going to hurt your credit. And he says, oh, no, absolutely not. This is called a strategic foreclosure, and my economics class teaches me this is okay. It's becoming the norm here. It's a terrible
thing.
Isn't
that? And I think, Mitch, you nailed it. When you start seeing it show up in the movies, we start seeing this kind of mentality, there seems to be a shift in the conscious level, the responsibility of what mortgage lending is all about. It's sad. It's traumatic. I think it's bad for our industry. It's bad for the consumers because it's going to come back and haunt them. Folks, we have as our special guest today Mitch Kider of Wiener, Brodsky, Sidman, and Kider. And we're going to be back with some important content. Especially, I want to get into QRM, if there's going to be changes, Mitch, in just a minute. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower. From a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges, PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dave Lincoln with Lincoln on Lending. We have as our special guest, Mitch Kider of Wiener, Brodsky, Sidman, and Kider, and we're talking about the new legal world. It's really not really that new, but we do certainly have new complications in it. And one of the things that's complicating so much of the industry right now, it seems like there's many things, but the one that I want to focus on for the next couple minutes is QM, QRM. Let's talk of QM. There's a lot of people. I look at the lawsuit, the billion-dollar lawsuit that was filed at Deutsche Bank as a result of mortgage IT, and it seems like there, and then the announcement on Friday, Kate Berry just wrote a great article in American Banker, how MetLife Bank is pulling out of and selling off their unit, and that the ramifications. I'm wondering if that's all tied to that lawsuit and the concern about QM. What is the risk here? And if mortgage lending is not the core competency or the core business model related to any large capital base, if they're just saying, you know what, it's not worth the risk. Give us some insights, if you would, Mitch, on the themes of that, and then what are the probabilities of QM changing?
One second,
Mitch, do we have you there?
Spoke about the Deutsche Bank case.
Yeah, let's talk about Deutsche Bank.
What the Deutsche Bank case is really all about is this. The suit is a False Claims Act lawsuit, and that means that, in fact, you put in a submission for a claim for insurance, or someone who was servicing the loan did, but there was fraud in the origination. And historically, under the False Claims Act, you prove that on a case-by-case basis because there was a scienter requirement. You had to know of the fraud or participate in the fraud. You had to have knowledge or act in reckless disregard of it. What the government is trying to do in the Deutsche Bank case is just basically say none of your loans were good across the board, and they're basing it on a really interesting thing. FHA, and false claims really just goes to government loans themselves because it goes to the insurance program or the VA guarantee program. And what the government is saying is on an annual basis, a lender recertifies in order to become FHA approved. And they sign a certification that says that they are in compliance with all of FHA's requirements. And now the basis of the Deutsche Bank case is fascinating. What they're saying in the Deutsche Bank case is those annual certifications that enabled us to recertify you and allow mortgage IT to be eligible for insurance were wrong because you didn't have an adequate quality control plan.
Hmm.
The allegations are that Deutsche Bank was not doing their, you know, their early payment default reviews and things along those particular lines. And that's what the government's saying. And therefore, they say, I don't have to pay insurance on any one of the loans, and the ones that I did pay on, I want treble damages on, without proving that there was actually fraud in a particular loan itself. Now, the good news about the Deutsche Bank case that you don't hear so much about when you read the newspaper and things is that the law doesn't necessarily say that's true. The law typically in most jurisdictions actually makes a distinction between a certification that's made to be eligible in a program and a certification that's made in order to get paid. And obviously a certification that's made in order to get paid, if that's false, you have a False Claims Act problem, but not necessarily a certification that in fact goes to the issue solely of eligibility. And Deutsche Bank actually filed a motion to dismiss, and I might just add with my assistance, on those particular lines.
Good.
On those particular lines, you know, and it's public now. It was filed, and there's going to be a legal issue that's out there that's going to deal with that. But the problem that it creates for larger lenders, you know, for all lenders, in all honesty, is it scares the heck out of them. They look at it and they say, wait a minute, I'm participating in the FHA program, and I'm afraid the government's going to come back to me, and they're going to say, we're out of this insurance. We're not paying insurance on any of your claims. It's all on you.
Wow.
That's the message of that lawsuit, and that's a big problem.
And I look at that, and I look at the large institutions that are in this, and it's not their core business. Again, let's use MetLife as an example. And they look at this and go, you know what, it's not worth it. Do you think that is, in fact, something that we can anticipate more companies that saying mortgage lending isn't our core competency, we're exiting?
I think you can anticipate that with more companies, especially ones whose core business is in a different area, like insurance or things of that sort. You're not going to get that out of the banks. You know, lending is core to the banks themselves, so I don't think you're going to see so much of that, although I think you're going to see some of the larger players scared of the results of something like a Deutsche Bank lawsuit cutting back a little bit, which creates a whole different issue as to whether that opens the door up for the smaller mid-sized player, which it might, quite frankly. It might, you know, be a competitive advantage to a certain extent. But, you know, you're going to see it, and I understand the reasoning that MetBank puts on it. It's not core to their business. It's not necessary. And yet their entire business would be subject to regulation by the CFPB because of their bank. So why not get out of that? Why not just deal with the regulators that you're otherwise using?
Makes total sense. We can get there. There's so much I would love to talk about that, but I'm glad to hear
Dave,
you from that.
Let's clarify. MetLife's not getting out of mortgage. They're getting they're reducing. In fact, they're growing mortgage. They're just doing it. They're getting out of the bank part, the bank side of it.
That's exactly right. They're not at all getting out of mortgage, and they're growing there, and I think they're going to have a long, good, healthy future in mortgage itself.
Absolutely.
But what they want to do is sell off the bank piece of it. That will take them outside of the bank regulatory scheme. That's correct.
Yeah. Go ahead, Al.
I was just going to say, you know, I'd like to bring up to our listeners the idea of how you try and insulate yourself and prepare yourself against this type of environment that we're in today. You know, we talk about different types of enterprise risk management process loops and how to cope with this. You know, the idea of you've got to assess your risks ahead of time, know what they are. Some of these we're talking about are about legacy loans, come from servicing, but a lot of it does come from your origination and catching this stuff early, identifying what your risks might be, assessing that, and then reevaluating your procedures. I mean, it's a project to help insulate yourself against this.
That is exactly right. I could not have said that, you know, any better. But it's important. You know, in today's environment, there's no room for second chances when it comes to compliance. You have to get it right the first time. And it comes down to policies and procedures and implementing those policies and procedures correctly. That's really the bottom line. Let's take the issue of an annual certification. Historically, you know, someone that runs a company would sign an annual certification. You know, it says you're complying with all the requirements based on their internal audit reports and other things. They say that's okay. Not anymore. You better have a checklist. You better be able to show that you went to the right people to ask the right questions before you execute that particular certification.
And every layer of management needs to keep a copy of that letter.
That's right. You never know
which layer is going to be missing when you have to show it to an auditor.
I got to get one quick question in. I know a lot of people are listening about this. QM, do you anticipate it changing? Yes or no?
I anticipate the QRM changing. And the QRM is the piece. It's the risk retention piece. And I anticipate that, in fact, that 20% down payment, which really goes all the way up, it goes 20, 25, and 30, you know, 25 for a refi, 30 for a cash-out refi. I anticipate that changing because, you know, the Hill has gone through an educational process, and I think the regulator has as well, and all sides, the consumer side, the industry side, recognize that consumers are going to be hurt, borrowers are going to be hurt by those requirements. So I see that aspect of it changing as well. In terms of the QM itself, as to these qualified mortgages on the ability to repay, I think they're going to end up just being your plain vanilla mortgages, absolutely nothing fancy to them, no other features available on those particular mortgages. You know, there's a 3% cap on points and fees, which becomes problematic for affiliated companies because affiliated settlement service providers get counted in there. You know, I don't see that changing right now. You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with the comments.
It is so good to have you be with us again, Mitch. We would like to thank Mitch Kiter from Wiener, Brodsky, Sidman, and Kiter being with us. Mitch's website you can go to is www.wbsk, the initials of the law firm, .com. Mitch, for the people to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to, if they want to talk to you more and get more information and retain you? What's the best way for them to reach you?
Email. They can send me an email at Kiter, K-I-D-E-R, at WBSK.com, or they can give me a call, 202-628-2000.
Appreciate you taking the time to be with us out of your busy day. I know you had to rearrange your schedule to do this on short notice. Thank you so much, Mitch. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
It's always good. We look forward to having you back soon. Folks,
there's so much going on in the industry.
Stay tuned to what we have, all the stuff we've got going on. We're trying to do our best to stay up on what's happening and the changes in the industry. It's just astounding. We'll be back after this brief break with some
final comments.
In
today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Trot represents a wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Thank you so much for many of the comments. So many of you have written me and told me how much you appreciate the broadcast. I get stopped at many of the conferences where I'm at, and we get told, program's great. Love, great information, impacting. Yeah, Joe and Alice, let's go and kind of get some closing comments. That was really interesting. Love having Mitch on there. Alice, what are your thoughts as we exit the program today?
Well, just that he made such great points. You almost have to go back and listen to the show a couple of times to make sure that you picked up on all of it.
Yep.
Because we really do see a combination of legacy loans still being the product of lawsuits, but then, like we were talking about, the loan officers up front. So you have to really develop an enterprise risk management solution, and we can help with that. I know you guys work as teams sometimes to help folks with
that.
We do.
We team up on that, but we always refer them over to you. Joe, thank you so much for bringing up the point that MetLife isn't exiting. I didn't want to make that. They're shedding the bank, and they're very much MetLife Mortgage is very much continuing on, is what my understanding is. But anyway, thanks so much for bringing that up. Any your final thoughts with a few seconds left?
Well, I was going to say that an unsolicited recommendation here, Mitch, has provided services to firms I've been with in the past, and there's none better. And to get comfort knowing where you are from a risk perspective, it would certainly behoove you to call Mitch.
Absolutely. Especially knowing that he's on the mortgage or on the Deutsche Bank lawsuit and many others. Every time I bring him in, people go, thank you for introducing him to us. Folks, again, we're a part of the industry trying to bring you all that's going on, as you can tell sometimes. I'm a mortgage banker, not a talk show host, but I enjoy bringing this to you, and I appreciate Alice, Joe, and the Profit Doctor, Andy Shell, being with us each and every week. It's here for you. We love to hear from you. Be sure to register for the Mortgage Leader Cruise. Go out to www.mortgageleadercruise. Have a great week, everybody. Appreciate you dialing in, and tell your friends about it. Talk to you next week.
This has been Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.